What's going on, KD time friends? What's up? What's up? What's up? You know, welcome back to another episode of KD Time, that sometimes weekly but mostly timely podcast where I literally talk about whatever I feel like. I talk about everything under the sun, from music, sports, food, books, true crime. I'll talk about whatever it is that my guests are talking about. So yeah, I am definitely, you know, an all podcast kind of podcaster. On this particular episode, I am going to have a guest on as usual, but in reality, it's like sometimes it's me, sometimes it's me and a guest, sometimes it's just me and a friend. But yeah, in this episode, I have someone that's going to come on and talk about the, like, basketball and traveling. It's so much fun. Like, we talked about so many different things on this episode, and I'm so excited for you guys to hear what he has to say and hear his story. And he runs his own business, and you know, he's an all-around good guy that I just happened to get to know. The one thing I really like about having these guests on the show is that I'm getting to know a lot of people, and I'm getting to experience conversations that I probably wouldn't have any other time. So I'm really grateful and thankful that he's able to come on the show. His name is Jason Bahamundi, and I'm just so excited for you guys to hear this episode. It should be a good one. I know I haven't really been consistent on Instagram or Twitter, and I missed last week on posting, but I had a death in the family and I just had to take some time for myself, which, you know, is normal. I just needed that moment to, or that time to really reflect on family, and so that is the reason why it's been so, like, not as consistent as I'd like. I'm going to get back into the habit of that, but without further ado, I'd love to introduce you to Jason, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode. It's coming up right now. Welcome to the show. This is KD Time, and I have a very special guest with me. His name is Jason, and say hello to the people. Jason, tell them about yourself.
Hey, everybody listening to KD Time podcast. My name is Jason Bahamundi, and tell you a little bit about myself. We don't have enough time since I don't really answer in short bursts, but I will say that I am an entrepreneur. I started and founded a business about 2.5, almost 3 years ago now, called Run Tri Bike Magazine. And we focus on athletes overcoming obstacles to get to their finish lines. And so we are basically a storytelling platform, which is what I love, which is why I can't really talk and, you know, answer questions in a short way.
That's still pretty cool. That's what you do. You kind of, I mean, that was kind of short, like less than a minute of what you said. But so yeah, today me and Jason, we're going to dive into a few different things. And our first topic to get into would be women's basketball. And it's really interesting because right now the WNBA is in their full swing. And I'm a Liberty fan. I like the New York Liberty right now, and then I kind of watch some of the other teams, like Las Vegas Aces and the Connecticut Sun.
But I'm since I'm from New York, which I just learned that Jason is also from New York, you know, where I'm like, yeah, I like the New York sports. So
I'm an old school Liberty fan. I like the team when Rebecca Lobo played for them, which is, you know, a long time, which also kind of reveals my age, shall we say. But yeah. I've been watching the WNBA and been a fan of it for since its inception, really. And I lived in Phoenix for a few years. And so I became a Mercury season ticket holder and was able to go to plenty of games. And one of the years that we had season tickets, they went to the finals, which was crazy awesome to be able to see and participate, you know, as a fan. And so the women's game is awesome. Like, I'm just going to come out and say this. Like, to me, it's a much better played game of basketball than what you see on the men's side. Mostly because the women, you know, don't dunk. And so there's a lot more ball handling and passing and offensive sets that they go through versus, you know, and don't get me wrong, right? An alley-oop is pretty interesting, you know, but you have to draw up the play, but the women can't do that.
Right.
And so you see these games where, especially when they're scoring 100 points, right? Which you don't typically see in the men's game. Well, up until a few years ago, you didn't see it as much, but the women are playing fewer minutes and having to and still being able to score 100 points. It's incredible to be able to see. So, yeah, we could talk about this all day long. And one of the things I hope people do is from this conversation, go to Twitter and go join WNBA Twitter, because it's amazing. Like, you know, people are trash talking each other. It's so much fun.
Okay. I do. I mean, I don't follow them on Twitter. I should go and follow them on Twitter, but I watch, like, I subscribe to their YouTube channel where they'll post like the highlights and stuff, because I like to watch those, especially since like some of the games are during the day if I'm at work. So I'm like, I can't watch that. But you're right. The WNBA players, they can't dunk. They pass a lot. They're the technique of how much they pass the ball is definitely eye catching. And, you know, some of them are tall enough to dunk, but it's just like, it's not a part of their play. So yeah, when I was growing up, my favorite player was probably Lisa Leslie.
Yeah.
So like a little bit about me for you is that I wanted to join the WNBA years ago because of watching this movie Love and Basketball. Just like, oh, I want to be the next Monica, because that was her name in the show. And I was just like, I could do that. I could totally do that. And I was really good. And then in high school, there was no girls team, so my play time had greatly diminished, and I didn't, like, my mom or my dad didn't like, oh, you want to go play in like some community leagues? I didn't do any of that. So I just kind of just played with my younger brothers and my friends and kept it at that. But yeah, she was my favorite. I was just like, she's awesome.
She's incredible.
Yeah.
She's incredible. You know, and so you're going old school too. Like, so Cheryl Miller, Rebecca Lobo, Lisa Leslie, like that whole era, you know, that introduced the WNBA. I mean, Diana Taurasi's still around and still playing 20 years. She's just set 10,000 points in the WNBA, which is an incredible record, which again is amazing, right? So for the trolls that are out there and are like, oh, it's only 10,000 points. And it's, you know, first of all, they play less than half games of the men. And she was able to play for 20 years. And one of my favorite players in the NBA, Udonis Haslem, who plays for the Heat, you know, he's retiring after 20 years and he only scored 7,000 points, even though he was playing 60, 70 games, right? So, like, let's put him on an even footing and compare. Like, here's a guy who's probably going to the Hall of Fame for his tenure and his tenacity and leadership. And DT is going to be going to the Hall of Fame and for all of those things. Plus, she scored 10,000 plus points.
Yeah, bonus. For sure. It's incredible. For, like, yeah, you, like you were saying, them scoring 100 points in a game, they have, what, like, 8-minute quarters or something like that? Or
10-minute quarters.
Yeah. And I'm like, the 2-minute difference between them and, like, men's basketball is just like, what? I don't know why. Like, is there a reason? Do you know why it's 10 minutes versus 12 minutes?
If I had to guess, there was some guy when they started the league who was like, women can only play 10 minutes. So we'll only let them play 10 minutes, you know, but I don't know for sure. But the game is exciting, maybe because they only have 10 minutes to play versus 12 minutes, you know, a more condensed version of the game. But here's what's a cool thing, right? In this world of short attention spans, I'm also a huge baseball fan. Baseball takes forever to play. But every WNBA game I've ever attended, 2 hours. Almost to the T, right? It's like an hour and 58 minutes to 2 hours and 2 minutes. So you know, you get there and you're leaving in 2 hours almost always. So in the world of short attention spans, it fits perfectly.
That makes sense. That does make sense because I think there's a lot less timeouts in ladies basketball.
Yeah, that's because they don't have the TV contracts yet. Yet they're coming. Yet.
I know. Yeah, because I know that I watch Liberty on the YES Network often. And so, you know, and then like sometimes it's on ESPN, but it's very rare. But I'm just like, yeah, I remember going to my first Liberty game because I hadn't been able to go prior to that. There was no team in New York. Like, I mean, I don't think there was a team at Madison Square Garden. So it was all. It wasn't there. So when Brooklyn, you know, finally got the Barclays Center and they had, you know, they had Liberty playing there, Brooklyn Nets playing there. Even the New York Islanders would play there sometimes. That's the hockey team. They play there sometimes. And I'm just like, this is awesome. I finally have an arena in Brooklyn. I don't got to travel to New Jersey. You know what I mean? Like, I can stay right here. And yeah, I got to go to my first game, I think, last year or the year before. And it was incredible. Like I was up close because the seats are cheaper.
Right. You know? Yeah.
And the crowd I was with, they had so much energy. It was awesome. And then like they were like Liberty was down. I forgot who they were playing against, but might have been maybe the Lynx, maybe. I'm not sure. But they were down and then we were like cheering and then they came back and we were like getting high. It was like my area was so hype. It felt awesome. It felt like I was at a guy's game, but, you know, it was less chaotic and less, well, let me see. Like, it wasn't a whole lot of people that were just like, oh, like, screw you guys. Right. Like, they weren't cussing anybody out, you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
It was just, it was good.
I want the women's game to grow, but I like the tight-knit units that you have in the arenas. Mm-hmm. I've seen games at Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle and obviously in Phoenix as well. And they're the same atmosphere, and rooting for different teams, of course, but the same type of atmosphere in terms of getting behind their team, but not, you know, belligerent at the opponents.
I watch certain like YouTube videos where fans are just like too much. They're just so much. And I get it. Being a fan, I like, you know, I'm a New York fan. I like all the New York teams or whatever. So like, I get it. We're very passionate people, but it's like at the end of the day, it is just a game.
Yeah.
I'm not getting paid to watch this. You know what I mean? So, all right. I don't need to start a brawl or nothing. I don't need to fighting some random fan.
That's right.
Anyway.
if you're watching the videos on YouTube and for your audience who's listening to this podcast, like once you're done listening, go to the YouTube videos for the WNBA and watch Chelsea Gray. Like just YouTube, watch those YouTube videos and you'll see visions of like Magic Johnson from back in the day, like, you know, behind the back passes and all these crazy passes. I mean, she is so good. I really hope everybody who's listening to this is like ready to go to the Barclays Center and buy a ticket to the Liberty.
Yeah, they should buy tickets. They should go. And they're cheap, guys. They're not $100+ for you to sit in the nosebleeds. Like you can sit up close.
Yeah,
you could get a good $40 ticket and be courtside almost. You know, so
I think the Mercury I was going to say the Mercury tickets we paid for average like $25 a seat. Like, yeah, and we were right
there.
It's
amazing. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. But yeah. What other fun facts do you have about the WNBA?
Oh, what other fun facts do I have about the WNBA? That's a really good question. I don't know if they're all fun. They're more factual. Like, just get out there and go. Like, I hope I'm making it fun for your audience to be like, I need to go see these games. Like, go watch these players. Dawana Bonner in Connecticut, and Ionescu and Brianna Stewart, and Jonquel Jones in New York. Go see Asia Wilson and Kelsey Plum and Jackie Young in Las Vegas, and Ezzie Megbegor here in Seattle, along with Jewel Lloyd. Like, these players are so good. And I hope that what they are able to do is expand and add, you know, two teams, four teams, six teams, eight teams, and continue to build the momentum that they have, because it really is super exciting to watch them play.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to see Brittany Griner play. I want to see her play. And, like, I kind of want to stand next to her. Just, like, you know what I mean? Like, I just want to, like, go, oh.
It's crazy.
I know that, definitely with the NBA, the tall players, and they're standing next to average height men, right? So I want to do that, but be with some really tall ladies and just be like, oh, so this is what it would look like if I were I can vision, you know?
So, like, Brittany Griner standing next to Diana Taurasi, and Diana Taurasi is like 6'1", and it's you know, head and shoulders above her. So it's amazing to see that height difference. And Brittany Griner she's a lot of fun to watch. And she can dunk. So I've seen her dunk, and you know, she's also a great passer, a great, you know, team leader out there. And in the community, in the Phoenix community, like, she gives a lot of her time to the community, which is also fun and awesome to watch, that these, you know, professional athletes are giving back to the communities that are supporting them, you know, in their careers. It's cool to see.
Yeah. It's a different ball game for them. Different ball game. But they have just as much passion as anybody on the court, and it's really awesome to see. Like, they're both, you know, they're in it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It was a dream. I mean, I feel like maybe if I were to really get back into it, maybe I can get on a team. If there's any, like, basketball scouts listening, like, let me send you my reel real quick.
There you go. Exactly. That's it. Put yourself out there. You never know what could happen.
Well, yeah, that's very true. So have you gotten a chance to go to the Barclays Center at all? Like, have you come back to New York?
I've been back to New York, but I have not been to the Barclays Center, which is, I was going to ask you a question. Like, what's the atmosphere? Like, I've been to the Garden plenty of times. I've been to I still call it Shea. That's how old I am. So I know it's Citi Field nowadays. I've been to Old Yankee Stadium. The Meadowlands. I know they call it MetLife Stadium now. You know, back in my day when Lawrence Taylor was playing there with Phil Sims, it was the Meadowlands Giant Stadium. But what's the atmosphere like at the Barclays Center?
At the Barclays Center, it's really nice. I mean, I have a family member that works there. So whenever there's, like, concerts or a basketball game, he usually helps me to get some good seats. The arena itself is really beautiful. They have a nice color scheme with, like, it's like a gray with a rusty brown kind of in there. It's not as colorful as the Madison Square Garden, but it definitely, like, and it could it's interchangeable. You could put an ice rink in there. I mean, the Islanders now have their own arena out in Queens, or, like, it's still Long Island, but it's, like, right there by Queens. Anyway, it's all interchangeable. Queens, Brooklyn, Long Island. Anyway, and then they have a really nice food selection out there. So they kind of incorporated a lot of the, like, Brooklyn has all kinds of different foods and restaurants and things. So they put that into the center, which is nice. You don't have to, like, if you wanted some, like, Caribbean food, there's a vendor in there. And I've been to, like, I was able to go to, like, the suites and stuff. So, like, I was able to be on the basketball practice floor. And, yeah, I mean, I had a tour because, like, there's these they call, like, the recruiters or something. Like, they call, like, hey, do you want to have season tickets? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. And they're like, well, come down to the center and see everything. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'll come down and look. And then they show you all of these different things, like, oh, you could do this and you could do that. And I'm like, that's cool. I know that I don't go to games that often, right. But thanks for the offer. They're just like, oh, well, you could still have it and maybe, like, sell your tickets to other people. And I'm like, that's great. But again, I don't know. So as a season ticket holder, what is that like? Like, if you do you go to every game? I mean, I don't assume you go to every single game, but, like, you know, do you have, like, if you can't go, do you offer your tickets to other people and they accept them? Like, how does it work?
Yeah, so we're able to go to probably 90% of the games, but some of the games that we couldn't go, the WNBA and the Phoenix Mercury have an app that you can upload the tickets that you aren't able to attend and put them on sale. And then once they're sold, they transfer electronically. So it makes it super easy. And because, again, they're inexpensive, $24-$25 or something like that. Like, there wasn't a single time where we weren't able to sell them. Right. But we're selling them at face value. So I wouldn't go the idea that this is going to be some sort of a, you know, investment to retire on kind of thing. I mean, as good as the Liberty are playing right now, like, I don't know that, you know, a $30 ticket's going to sell for $60, $160 tomorrow. It's going to probably sell for $35 at best. Right. So, yeah. But they were able to get sold, and we attended most of the games, and you have, right of first refusal on playoff tickets, which makes it, you know, super nice. And they'll have giveaways throughout the season for the season ticket holders, which is a little bit of a lure to get you to come to the arena, right, and buy the tickets to begin with. So they do treat their season ticket holders, you know, very well. And again, it's relatively inexpensive, because the other part is, a year up until this year, they were playing 32 games, so 16 at home. And so your investment also isn't in the thousands or tens of thousands of dollars when it comes to buying 16 games for $25, right? So it's relatively inexpensive as a whole.
That makes a lot of sense, because when they try to sell it to you, it's always like, oh, well, you have to do this. I mean, I still don't know, because, like, they're trying to get, every now and then I'll get an email or a phone call about the Brooklyn Nets, because I went to, like, one game, you know, I went to one game or two games, and they're just like, hey, do you want to keep going to games? And I'm like, I have a job. I cannot go to the games like that, even though I would want to. And then they try to, like, mostly with the Nets. So I'm not sure how it is with the Liberty as yet. I haven't researched it. But with the Nets, they're like, oh, well, you could get these kind of packages where you can see this game and this game and this game. And it's like, oh, depending on who's coming to town, like, if the Lakers are coming to town, then it's like this. It's like high. The range is so high. But if, you know, a team like the Timberwolves is coming to town, it's like, oh, it's like down here. And I'm like, I don't want to see the Timberwolves. I'd rather see LeBron play. So give me the Timberwolves money for the LeBron game. That's what I want. Let me pay that amount. But no. No. At least I know with Liberty, it's like, you know, whichever team is coming to town, it's not, like, super duper expensive. So, yeah. Sorry, I might. But I'm in Connecticut now, so I would have to get the Connecticut Sun. And then I'm like, oh, I really just want to see the Liberty play. So never mind.
You got to get the tickets when the Sun play the Liberty out there.
I know. I know. I, and I, I missed one opportunity because I saw like a highlight later.
They got a good Connecticut's got a good team again this year, so you, yeah, I'm sure you'll be able to enjoy some quality basketball if you head out there.
I know. Yeah, I could, because Mohegan Sun is not that far from me. It's like maybe 40 minutes. Like, oh, that's perfect. I'll go and then I'll come home.
And you know, 2 hours.
No problem. Yeah. No problem. I'll be back home before 9 o'clock. This is awesome.
That's right. Perfect night out.
Perfect, you know? Wow. These are opportunities. I gotta look into it though, for real, because I do want to see them. I want to see them play out here. I gotta see when they're coming back before the playoffs, because I think the playoffs is soon, right?
Yeah, they'll be happening real soon here. They're about 3/4 of the way through the season, so they probably have about 10-12 more games as of early August, and then they'll get into the playoff component there.
Okay, sounds good. So we also said we would talk about some food.
Yeah, you mentioned food earlier when it comes to the food at the Barclays Center. And in my mind, I was immediately thinking, like, I don't know where your listeners are listening to this show from, but get yourself to New York and go to visit all the boroughs and find yourself the best food you're going to find in this country, right? Like, when I go back to New York, some of the first places I go to Tompkins Square Bagel to go get me a bagel in Manhattan. Go to Tavola in Hell's Kitchen to get some pizza, you know, like you can't beat it. Like I'm going to be a New York homer for the rest of my life when it comes to food, because you just can't beat it. You can walk up and down a city block in New York, right? And in one spot, you could have Ethiopian, then the next spot is Thai, then the spot after that is a Jewish deli, then the spot after that is some Italian joint. And it's like, you got it all.
Absolutely. It's incredible. It's incredible. I don't think there has been a time where I've walked the streets of New York and I wasn't like so, not overwhelmed, but like enamored. Cause I'm just like, okay, well, what am I feeling? What are you guys feeling? Like, I'll walk with somebody. I'm like, what are you guys feeling? I'm like, oh, well, I kind of want some Thai food. Well, I want some Peruvian. I'm like, okay, well, can go over here to like 42nd and whatever. And we'll just meet in the park and have our food together, you know what I mean?
Right?
So it's beautiful. I love that about New York. I do. And they have like farmers markets out there. Like you could get some fresh food, some corn, you know what I mean? It's incredible.
You can't beat it. Like if you're in Manhattan, walk around, get yourself a to-go box, go sit in Bryant Park and just watch all the people milling around and enjoy your food. It's bound to be fantastic. You can't go wrong with it. It's definitely one of the things I miss the most about New York probably is that I'll throw out some other places. Like there's this place called Ella's Kitchen on the Upper West Side, which is fantastic. If you like tapa style food, can't go wrong with that. There's a place called Peaky Barista, which is a coffee shop. They got a couple locations. They're also up on the West Side, which is, you know, go in there, get yourself a good cup of coffee and enjoy yourself while you're there too. Like you just, you can't, there are things that you don't want to miss when you go to New York. So for everybody who's not from New York listening to this podcast, when you travel there, don't go to Midtown. You're going to get angry. All the tourists are there. You're going to see Sbarro Pizza. You're going to be like, this pizza's not good. Like, don't go to Midtown. Like, Isn't it true? Like, every person you talk to is like, oh, New York, it's so crowded and it's a mess. And it, where did you go? Oh, I went to Times Square. I went to Rockefeller Center.
I went to Central Park.
Right. Like, don't go there. Go walk up to Columbus Circle. The Smith is there. Go enjoy, you know, a meal at the Smith, go walk around Upper West Side, Upper East Side, and find all the other places that the people that aren't tourists are going to. Like, I don't know the numbers, but I'm going to guess like 80% of the people that you ask in Midtown are tourists from other places. They're not New Yorkers, unless they work in Midtown.
Yeah.
And they're like scurrying to get to Penn Station and Grand Central to get out.
I worked on, what was it? on West 40th. So I was like maybe 3 blocks from Grand Central, which was awesome. I worked at a law firm for a little bit. And then from there, I went to 34th Street and was working with a media company. And yeah, like I never really wanted to leave the building, but if it was nice outside, I would go outside, go grab whatever, and then kind of sit, because there's around 34th Street, like by the Macy's department store, like mm-hmm. there's this nice little, it's not really a park, but it's just kind of like a small area we could sit and like kind of people watch. And there would just be so many people there. But like then at the same time, there was like maybe some people playing music, some people, you know, doing some, like just there was things being done. And you can just sit there. But like, yeah, if you don't work there, I wouldn't suggest it, because it is crowded. It's annoying because people will stop and look. They're like, oh, what's this? What's that? And I'm like, come on, I'm trying to go somewhere. Keep it moving. You know what I mean? Like, oh my goodness, I can't stand it. But if you, and it's literally just from what, like 30, the 30s to maybe 45, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
That is the most, that's where everybody goes. Everybody's like, I gotta go to Times Square. I gotta go to the stairs. I gotta go see something on Broadway. I gotta go to, and I'm just like, if you continue to walk past 42nd Street, past 45th Street,
it's empty. Like, walk out of Grand Central, get to Park Avenue, and start walking north on Park Avenue is unbelievable, because you have all the high rises and all the tall buildings, and you have the traffic, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like a symphony, because you hear people honking. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. But it's absolutely, it's not like all this other noise that comes with it. And so mm-hmm. go do that. Like, seriously, just walk up Park Avenue. You know, starting right outside of Grand Central, and you'll have a blast. You will have a blast. It's a whole different world, man. It is a whole different world when you go to New York City and you get out of that area. Yeah. I worked on 46th and 3rd. And so I was on the east side. And just like you, we were like 2 blocks outside of Grand Central. So I commuted into Grand Central, walked 2 blocks out. Mm-hmm. And then I could get to the river. I can get to the UN. You know, and get away from the Midtown portion of that whole area. And it was, like, to your point, it was empty. And yet all those restaurants and all those bodegas, they still have everything you need, right? And they're not charging you tourist prices. That's the other thing, right? You go purchase something in Times Square, right? And a pack of gum is $17. And it's like, yeah, because every tourist is here. Meanwhile, you go to a bodega on First Avenue, you know, and it's like, it's 70 cents.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Listen. I've been in contact with Jason via email for a minute, but the fact that like we had pretty much the same experience, age, whatever. This is awesome. I'm really glad that we're talking about this. I'm like, no one else understands, you know, only New Yorkers understand.
It's true. True, and let me tell you something. I've been to Dallas, I've been to Houston, I've been to Miami, mm-hmm. I've been to Albuquerque, I've been to Phoenix, I've been to LA, I've been to San Diego, I've been to Portland. Like, none of those places are like New York. The closest I've seen is Seattle, and mm-hmm. sure enough, Seattle used to be known as New York, you know, 100 plus years ago. And a lot of the idea was to build Seattle sort of on New York City's template, shall we say. So that the city has all the same type of stuff. You want Thai food, you got it. You want Korean food, you got it. You want pizza, you got it. You want whatever you want, they got it, right? The Space Needle is in Seattle is equivalent to like the Empire State Building in Manhattan, that kind of stuff. You want, you know, Times Square in New York is Pike Place in Seattle. Right. Like all the tourists go there. And so it's like, you know, the first Starbucks is here. And like, there's people lined up for it, like for miles. There's a Starbucks around the corner. It's the same coffee, like literally go around the corner. I don't get it.
I would love to go to Seattle. I really want to see the Space Needle. I would want to be a tourist in Seattle. Yes, I would want to do that. That's cool. You've been to a lot of places. I can't say that I've done the same, but I mean, I've been to Austin. I've been to Houston. I've been to Austin. Maybe Dallas. Maybe. I don't remember.
DC is another cool city. You know, that's another cool city to go to. DC is great. I enjoyed my time. I've been to Boston a couple of times. It's a cool city. Like, you just feel smarter when you get to Boston because there's like 150 colleges, right? Like, all these brains are in this one area. You just feel smarter when you're there.
Going to Boston. I can't even get the right. I'm going to Boston.
Park the car.
Oh my goodness, that's funny.
You know, it's a cool city too that has actually a cool little Italian section is Philly. Like, I know everybody's like, oh, I'm gonna go get a cheesesteak in Philly. Oh yeah, you gotta do it. I got it, right? Take your Instagram moment at Pat's or Gino's or whatever. But then go find their little Italy part because it's really good. So make sure, you know, when you travel to Philly, make sure you're doing that too. Obviously, I love travel and food, right? Like, food is one of my favorite things. We actually have on my, for my company, every Friday I do a thing called Food Fight Friday. And we put like one food product against another. So last week we were debating, fighting, arguing over creamy versus crunchy peanut butter, right? Like, see?
I like them both. Like, I mean, it depends though. Like, on my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, I'll do creamy. But like, if I wanted to like add some texture to my sandwich, I'd probably go crunchy because it's just like, I like the crunch of the peanuts because I like eating unsalted peanuts, you know? Wow. Yeah, that's a good debate.
So we had that debate. We did red sauce pizza versus white sauce pizza. And the first one we did was chocolate chip cookies versus oatmeal raisin cookies. So, see? And that's exactly the reaction I want to get from people. Like, you know, but here's the thing, right? Like, there's always one person that comments similar to what you said. Oh, but it depends. And I'm like, no, this is my game. These are the rules. You can't be depends. Because in that case, you'll never answer the question, right? No, you have to pick. You have to pick. Okay. So Friday, which will be what, August 11th on Instagram, we'll have and Threads now, we'll have the video and the conversation is going to be peanut butter and jelly sandwiches versus grilled cheese sandwiches. And you have to pick one and I'm going to set it up. PB&J in the spring when the weather's kind of cool and you're like, oh yeah, I could go for that. The sun is starting to get nice out, you know, flowers are blooming. Mm-hmm. And then the grilled cheese is like October, cloudy kind of ish skies are happening. And you're like, oh, I could use some of that home cooking warm meal. Gotta pick one. Don't give me depends. I don't want to hear it. Pick one. Make a decision, people.
Oh no. I can't do that. I mean, you know, it's funny because I used to have grilled cheese sandwiches almost every Sunday in the summertime with tomato soup. And it could be hot as Hades outside, but I would love it. I would love my grilled cheese on a Sunday afternoon with some tomato soup. That's because I went to a camp and that's what they gave us, but it was good. And then, you know, if the kids didn't want to eat their food, we would set them up with a PB&J. But oh man, that's hard. I'd like them both.
And you can have them both, but just not in this game.
All right. Well, I will look for that because I gotta follow you on social media to make sure.
Yeah, you gotta vote.
Participate. Like, vote.
It's so crazy. So the last one, like I said, we did creamy versus crunchy peanut butter. We had like, I don't know, it was like 700 plays on this thing with like 100 engagements. Like, and it's so, to me, it's so funny. Like, and people get so passionate. They're like, I'm on team crunchy. That's it. We only want crunchy. And other people are like, no, creamy. I love it. And every Tuesday, on Instagram, we host a thing called Fireside Chats. And at the end, we always have like this rapid fire food discussion. And it's like pineapple on pizza, yay or nay. Oreos, yeah. OG, no. You're from Brooklyn. Wait a minute.
I know where I'm from. Okay, I know. But I had it one time, and it was good. It was a good pizza. I'm sorry.
What? So one of our co-owners, he loves pineapple on pizza, but he always has this like but to it. He's like, I like pineapple on pizza, but it has to have jalapenos, or but it has to have ham. And I'm like, so you don't like pineapple on pizza, bro? Because if it has to have an accompaniment, you don't like pineapple on pizza. I don't want to hear it.
It has to be a Hawaiian where it's pineapple and ham together, not pineapple by itself. It needs to have a meat, and it's typically ham or bacon. Bacon is delicious. I don't care. Put bacon on my pineapple pizza because I'll have it.
These are the conversations we're having. We're like Oreos, the OG versus double stuff. Is candy corn a real candy? Are Peeps a real candy? Red velvet cake, is it a real flavor, or is it just chocolate cake with red food dye? Like, and people get passionate about it. It's awesome.
Yeah, I can get behind the red velvet because I thought I loved red velvet, and then someone told me like, no, it's just chocolate cake with red dye, and I was like, oh. I felt so betrayed. I was so upset. I was like, no, and so I haven't really felt the same about red velvet ever since.
And now you, like, and now you would prefer to have that chocolate cake with the chocolate icing, right? Yeah.
I'm like, what's the point?
Exactly. They charge you double for red velvet cake. Meanwhile, again, it's just chocolate cake being masqueraded with red food dye. Come on.
That's sad. Well, yeah, those are some enticing topics. I can understand how people would get very passionate about what they're eating.
Oh, they go crazy. We always ask, what's your favorite candy bar? That always gets people fired up.
I think my favorite candy bar, well, yeah, my favorite candy bar is definitely Hershey's.
The plain? Yeah.
The cookies and cream. And I know that the white chocolate's not real. I know it's not real. I just like the cookies. I like the cookies in it. So it, that's what I like. And I love Reese's Pieces too. I know it's not really a bar because it's more like a cup.
Yeah.
But I like, that's what I like. I like peanut butter and chocolate, everybody. Okay.
Have you ever watched the Food That Made America series on the History Channel?
I have not, but I heard about it.
Yeah. Put that on your to-do list because you will find out so much about the history of America through food. It is so intriguing. And one of my favorite stories is how Mars came to be. And like, the dude that started Mars, that dude is gangster, man. Like, hey, I don't want to ruin it for you, but he was like, hey, Hershey, I'm going to buy. He worked for Hershey, and bought the chocolate from Hershey to sell it to his kid who was running Mars, right?
Wow.
Yeah, total gangster move. He was like, oh, well, we don't even have to produce our own chocolate. Hershey will produce it. I'll sell it to my kid at a discount, and we'll start our own brand. Like, it's like total gangster move.
Okay, you said it's history through food. Is that what it's called?
It's called the food that made America. The food that made America.
Food that made America. Okay.
Yeah, they talk about Frito-Lay, Pepsi. They talk about, by the way, the Frito-Lay combination is bananas too, because Lay's potato chips was on the East Coast and the Frito's corn chip guy was in San Antonio. And so The guy from Lay's called the guy from Frito's and he was like, hey, I want to talk to you about your business. And the guy was like, why would I sell to you? Like, I'm making more money than you are. And he's like, I don't want to buy your business. I want to partner. And then all of a sudden, that's how you got the Frito-Lay's Corporation. It is amazing. Hershey story, Kellogg's, Post cereal. Gosh, you name the brand, you know, whatever pops in your head. And there's a story about it. The Domino story is phenomenal. Like, phenomenal. So there were two brothers that bought it. It was an Italian deli. And they were making, like, sandwiches and all kinds of stuff. And one day, one of the brothers was like, That's it. We're only making pizza. We can't keep up with all the orders. We can't get the stuff out there fast enough. We're not making enough money. We're making pizza. We're going to make 3 sizes, 2 varieties, cheese or pepperoni. That's it. And so the other brother was like, no, we got all these other sandwiches and whatnot. And the phone, the way they depict it, the phone rings, the kid answers the phone, he's an employee, and the two brothers are staring at him like, what are you going to say? And he goes, sorry, sir, we only have pizza today. You have 3 sizes, small, medium, large, plain or pepperoni. And that's how Domino's became like a pizza company as a whole. And wow. The brother who decided to make this change, this is what's nuts to me, sold or bought the part of the business from the other brother for basically the delivery car and a couple of bucks. Like, could you imagine being that brother and like watching this thing take off and you got the delivery car?
Like crazy.
Yeah, sick. Sick.
Now, yeah, I want to know, because like there's a lot of food that has been discontinued, you know, or just they stopped making it. And I kind of want to see where, like, what's the history behind it, why it stopped. Like, do you remember, like, there was this Sprite remix that I had in high school, and that was like 2005 to 2009, or earlier than that, maybe like my junior high school year. But there was this delicious tasting Sprite remix, and then it just disappeared. It was no more. And like, no one talks about it. And I'm like, it was real. I remember it. It tasted fruity and delicious. And now it's just gone.
Don't remember that. But I do teach college marketing as well. One of the other things I teach. And this past semester, I was teaching the kids about Starry, which is the competitor to Sprite, a competitor Sprite from Pepsi, which you know, basically just replaced Sierra Mist. Right. Oh, Sierra Mist went away and they brought in Starry, and it's like the same product. It's almost to the T. Oh.
Is that the one with like the lemon and the lime kind of those commercials? And so I've seen it while watching sports, and I'm like,
that's exactly right.
What is that? Oh, wow.
Yep.
So no more Sierra Mist?
Nope. So the biggest difference they made was marketing the brand. Like,
sorry, does it taste like Sierra Mist then?
No, it doesn't taste exactly like Sierra Mist, but it's good. It's not Sprite, but it's good. But yeah, they actually put money into the marketing of this. You know, they were sponsoring the NBA All-Star game and all kinds of other things.
Yeah.
And it's everywhere. Like, you couldn't, like, my students were like, I never heard of this brand. And then all of a sudden they were bringing cases of it in. They were like, I saw it in this store and that store. And I saw this commercial and that commercial. And like, marketing works.
It sure does. And my friend is in marketing, and she works for Disney. So she tells me all about, like, you see those like ads around the thing? I'm like, yeah. She's like, yeah, we do that. I'm like, okay, cool.
I love it. Yeah.
Wow. So speaking of food, like, you've traveled a lot. Like, you've traveled all over the U.S. practically. So what would you say, like, traveling into the world, where have you been? What food have you tried outside of the U.S.?
So I've been to Spain and Portugal, Italy as well. I love food, but I will. Yeah. So no matter what it is, I'm going to probably enjoy it. But I will tell you the one time I had squid ink pasta. Mm-hmm. Did not enjoy that. Like, it was just not what I was expecting. And, you know, I one of the things I'm happy about is I'm willing to try anything. But like, once I've had it and it doesn't work for me, I'm not going back to it. Right.
Okay,
and squid ink pasta would be the thing that I would not go back to. Maybe I would try it now, but probably, you know, that's definitely not at the top of the list of things to have. It's more of an experience overseas. The people aren't rushing you out of restaurants. Where here, right, we got to turn over tables. You know, we got to get people in and out of seats real fast. They're more mom and pop type places, smaller seating, fewer people in the restaurants, and you could be there all night honestly. Like they're not trying to kick you out because they're trying to sell more of X or Y. So it's mm-hmm. a more relaxed atmosphere when it comes to dining. But man, if you can travel and if it's in the US, do it and just go try different things. Go find local places. My girlfriend and I, when we were in DC, went to DuPont Circle. We found this like taco place that you had to go down the stairs, like out of view of everything. And it had a screen in the front. Mm-hmm. It was like a ghost kitchen type thing. And you just punched in whatever you wanted. And then all of a sudden this guy comes from the back and he's like, here you go. Right. And it's like, it's cool. But I would just like, when you go to places, like, look, don't find yourself at the Sizzler or the TGI Fridays. Like, go find the local joints. And with technology today, you could find them all over the place. Yelp will tell you where to go and go eat at the local joints, because those will be the experiences that you're going to remember. Mm-hmm. Again, not eating, you know, at, what they used to have, ESPN used to have a restaurant in Times Square and Hard Rock Cafe, right? Yeah, Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square. Like, don't go there. Like, that's not an experience. You're probably throwing that stuff in a microwave somewhere in the back and bringing it out to the front.
You're not lying. You're not lying. It's true. I mean, like, yeah. Like, sometimes when you go to the chain restaurants, it feels so different. Like, depending on where you are, it's always different. Like, you go to Texas, everything's bigger in Texas, right? So, like, well, but yeah, okay, well, that's cool. I will take your advice. If I travel, make sure to go to local places.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in Connecticut,
yeah,
go to Hartford, mm-hmm. go to Newport, Rhode Island, right? Mm-hmm. Those aren't going to be super far away, and you'll be able to experience different, you know, foods and cuisines of those areas that, you know, are going to be different from what you find in Brooklyn or in Manhattan mm-hmm. as well. Like, you don't have to travel far to travel. So this is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been to Hartford a couple of times. I know of an area where they have Jamaican food, because I had to go get my hair done and I was like, I'm hungry. And I was like, yes. Cause I'm half Jamaican. I'm American, but like my family's Jamaican and my dad's side is Guyanese. So like if I go anywhere where there's some Jamaican food, I'm like, yes, please. I'm going to get that. So yeah, there's some good foods out there that I've tried so far in Hartford, but I'll check out Newport, Rhode Island. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. You'll find a lot of seafood out there in Newport, Rhode Island, you know, for sure.
I do like some seafood. Yeah. 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 I mean, I'm right here on the shoreline, so there's plenty of seafood over there. Oh, yeah,
for sure.
But I can go to Newport for that. I want to go to Maine, too. Like, I've been to Maine one time when I was in my early teens, like my pre-teens. I went to Maine, but I'd like to go back out there and see what's up.
I did a race out in Old Orchard Beach, Maine, a number of years ago, and that whole area is really, really pretty. Out in Maine, because you're also right on the Atlantic Ocean, obviously. And so mm-hmm. you can go to the beach. Like, the beach doesn't only exist in Florida, right? Or South Jersey. Like, there are beaches in up in Maine too. And, you know, and they're really nice. So yeah, if you, again, you don't have to travel far to actually travel and experience. And up in the East Coast, you got the Amtrak. So even if you don't want to drive, you could take Amtrak virtually all over the East Coast too.
I'll take Amtrak if it's affordable.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if I was to look right now and try and go somewhere, cuckoo banana pants for the weekend. But sometimes they have good deals. So you said you did a race in Maine. What kind of race? Were you running? Were you doing like a marathon? What was that?
Yeah, I did a triathlon up there. I'm an endurance sports athlete. So okay. I swim, bike, and run for hours on end for fun. And so I don't even remember what year. It was a long time ago, but it was a 70.3 half Ironman triathlon. So we swam 1.2 miles in the Atlantic mm-hmm. Ocean and then rode our bikes for 56 miles through Old Orchard Beach in that area up there, and then ran a half marathon, 13.1 miles in like a bird sanctuary type area. It was really, really pretty. So that, you know, I've been there, I've raced up in the Maine for that. And actually coming to Jones Beach next year is a 70.3 Jones Beach. So for all you listeners, you got a year to train. Get ready.
I don't know that my listeners are runners. I'd have to, like, they have to let me know. Like, are you guys running? I don't know. Yeah, one of my friends, she did a triathlon, I'm sorry. But they couldn't go into the water. So because of, I think the water was, it was either really too cold or something like that. This was like maybe 2 years ago, 2021, I think. And so instead of her going into the water, they had to run, bike, run.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, that's a lot on the legs. Oh my goodness. But we were out there cheering her on, and you know, because we could only see her ever so often. Like,
right,
we'll stand there like, oh, there she is. She's coming.
Our whole business is built on that. You know, our run, try, bike business is built on stories that like your friend has, I should say. And we share stories of the everyday athlete, you know, people who are overcoming whatever obstacles they're overcoming. Sometimes it's drug and alcohol dependence. Other times it's women coming back from pregnancies. We have physically challenged athletes that are visible or invisible challenges that they have to overcome to participate in these endurance sports. And so I feel very fortunate to have built a platform that allows the everyday athlete to share their stories to inspire and motivate others to get out there and give it a try. We don't gatekeep, meaning if you want to walk a mile, do it. We want to celebrate you. If you want to run 250 miles, do it. We want to celebrate you. If you want to participate in triathlon, do it. We want to celebrate you. We believe that the ability to challenge yourself to an endurance sports event as you go through the process of training for it is transferable to life. So when you find yourself in a difficult situation at work or with family or whatever it might be, you're going to be able to overcome it a little bit better because you've already had to overcome some difficult situations through endurance sports. And so I feel very fortunate to be looking at year three in a couple of months, the start of year three. And our momentum is building faster than we expected it to, which is really nice. And it really is just about sharing stories and inspiring and motivating others to get started. So again, whether your listeners are actually participating already, I'm encouraging you, go check us out at runtrymag.com and find those stories that can inspire you to get going and then register for 70.3 Jones Beach.
There you go. There you go. So yes, continue. What is your business title? You said run.
Our website is runtrymag. So runtrimag.com. And if you go to Twitter, now known as X, if you go to Threads, if you go to Facebook, if you go to Instagram and you search for Run Try Mag, you will find us, as well as on YouTube, where we have our fireside chats that we put up there every week. I think I just posted our 67th episode today that we did yesterday on YouTube. You can also find them on our website. But yeah, so it's all about storytelling and everyday people doing all kinds of stuff, you know, people that are dealing with life. It's really what it is, right? Dealing with life and decide that they want to run or swim or bike or whatever it is and discover something that they didn't think that they could do. And now they're doing it.
That's very encouraging. Absolutely. Because there's a lot of different outlets that people can use, but this is not only a good verbal outlet, but it's also a good physical outlet where you can expunge all of that and that pent up energy that you might be holding on to. So that's really awesome. Thank you.
Thank you
for sharing. All right, folks. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say the marketer in me came out, so I had to plug us.
Oh, we were going to get to that. the plug was coming. No, I appreciate that. I appreciate you coming on to the show. Is there anything else you'd like to quickly let us know?
No. I mean, honestly, keep doing what you're doing, Katie, because this is a fun conversation to have. And for all of you out there who keep asking yourself, should I do this? Should I not do this? Follow Katie's lead, because at one point she was asking herself that same question about starting this podcast. And now here she is doing it. So remove the negative answer to what if and insert a positive answer. So what if I do this and I am successful?
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Jason. And we are going to end that on a great note. Tell the people, say goodbye.
Have a good one, everybody. Make sure you check us out at runtrymag.com and feel free to contact me.
Yes, you heard it here first. Runtrymag.com, everybody. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, Katie.
And that's the episode, folks. I just had a great talk with Jason, and it was nice. It was really nice to just talk to a fellow New Yorker and talk about the WNBA games. Listen, the WNBA is on fire right now. I don't care what anyone says. Those games are just as electric as the NBA games. If you're not watching the WNBA play, I don't know, you should. You should be. You absolutely should be. In the next episode of KD Time, I'm going to have another guest on. His name is Ricardo, and he wrote a book. And it's a really good story. It's about his time as a 911 dispatch person. And honestly, it's one of those kinds of jobs that I just didn't think about as, you know, as a job to even have. I knew that there were people that did those jobs because you call 911 and you get someone that answers. But my thought process wasn't like, oh, that's what I want to be when I grow up. Anyway, it's a really good story. He has a really awesome message that he wants to talk about with the people. And I was so happy to have him on the show. So that's coming up on the next episode. Do what you can. Follow, subscribe, share KD Time. Follow me on Instagram. Follow me on all of the social medias. Linktree is in the bio. And I'll catch you guys on the next one. Deuces.